Go to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, if you would. We'll begin reading there in verse 1, Numbers chapter 20. So let's turn there in your Bible, if you would. And the Bible said, "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." We leave off reading there. Let's go to the Lord into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you now to meet with us tonight to help, and Lord, as message is given, that you'd help us to grasp the truth that we need to see, and Lord, to realize there's something for us here personally tonight, and just speak to us. Help me to say, Lord, what I need to say. Give me the right words, and you guide and direct me and take me and use me tonight, I pray in your name. Amen. For those of you, you know, that know the Bible, and you've been around a while, you've read it, you've studied it, you've heard it taught, and you knew I was preaching on a series on Moses here on Wednesday nights. You knew we were getting to this verse. You knew we were going to get to this event. It was going to take place, and this probably, without a doubt, the saddest event in the life of Moses. Unfortunately, it's probably the instance in the life of Moses that you and I can most easily relate to. It's hard for us to relate to his great example of faithfulness sometimes, because sometimes we're so faithless. And then to look at the great forgiveness he had for his own people, to look at his intercession as he prayed for his own people, the leadership example we find, the obedience we see in him as he was obedient to God over and over in difficult, trying circumstances. And we look at those, and sometimes it's a little difficult maybe for us to relate to that. But sadly, we failed at some point. So we can relate to the failure of Moses when he got to the point in life where the man who was the meekest man on this earth really messed up in his life. But we see that, and we kind of understand. But I want you to understand this. It's not here for us to understand it. It's here for us to enlighten us, to challenge us, to change us, all right? So we read this account, and we read the episode here in the life of Moses. We don't read it so, hey, Moses, know how you felt. No. That's not the reason we're doing it, all right? It's to help us to grow, to learn from it. This episode took place very near the end of their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Here they were, the biggest part of the congregation of Israel had passed away. Those that the Lord said, hey, you wouldn't go in, you wouldn't take the land, so you're going to die in the wilderness. And most of them have died already when we get to this instance. But I want you to see a few things. I want you to see, first of all, the fickle people. Verse 2, there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Now I realize water is an absolute, and it's obviously an absolute essential for life. And when people get really thirsty, they can get a bit testy, all right? But really and truly, come on, just a little bit. Now, it's not like they had never been through this before, okay? Now, this wasn't an experience that these people said, never had anything like this happen. But we see here again, man, there was no water. And man, it's just immediate. The congregation gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, all right? Hey, this was the crowd that knew all about complaining and griping ancestors and what had happened to them. And here they are continuing the tradition, all right? You know, you read this and you think popularity absolutely shifts with the wind. Boy, Moses, he saw that shift on a regular basis. He went from being the greatest guy to the goat of the whole crowd, often in the men's, people's eye of that day. But the truth is, like I say, popularity is constantly shifting. Those people, those things that are popular today can be completely out of favor tomorrow. I mean, just totally. Well, that's, you know, some, oh, that's yesterday. Well, okay, fine, you know. That's yesterday. I listen to people talk about houses and everything, so, well, that's 70s. Okay, so, you know, that's kind of my view of it. So, when we redid the flooring in the house where we're at now, my son was after, he said, oh, you should have put this down all the way. I said, you're not living here, bud, I am. All right, I'm going to be living here. If you're living here, you put whatever you want to in the floor. I'm living here, I'm going to put what I want to walk on, all right? And I realize nowadays seems like carpet is passé, all right? And everybody wants some kind of hardwood or laminate flooring or something along that line. But I don't tell you, I still like to walk barefoot on carpet, all right? And so when you redo your house, you can give it the new look, all right? I like the old book and the old look, all right? I just tell you, all right? So, but there's old Moses. He's the hero one day and the focal point of all the frustration the next day. It was just a constant thing. But what we find, we realize popularity has absolutely nothing to do with anything logical thought whatsoever. There's no logic to what's popular, all right? If the truth is, we look at this situation, if there had just been a tiny little bit of logic applied, okay, Moses wouldn't have been taken to task again for the lack of water. It wouldn't have been that way. You know, you would have thought, a few of those people could have thought, you know, the last time Moses prayed, we may able to just go to Moses and say, hey, Moses, would you mind praying again? Would you mind talking to God? And we got water last time. Would you do that again? But that wasn't the way they came. They didn't come that way. They're very forgetful people. Very forgetful people. Look at verse 3. The people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Well, at least it wasn't would God we had died in Egypt. Okay. Just would God we had died in the wilderness with our brethren. All right. Would God that we had done that. And then, why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? I can't help but think Moses thinks, how many times am I going to hear this in my lifetime? How many times am I going to have to listen to this kind of thing? Hey, these people were surely very, very lacking when it comes to the memory department, you know? They were very lacking in it. Everything that they said, I mean everything they said, revealed, if you will, how much they'd forgotten. Verse 5, and wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? Did you hear that? How come you made us? We know it hadn't been that long ago I read, and I don't remember Moses forcing anybody to leave. I don't remember that at all, you know. And then notice what happens. What was the real problem right then? Right then, the real problem was a lack of water. Lack of water. But when you get to complaining, you throw it all in, all right? He said, there's no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. Well, that's fine, because this is not where God wanted us to be today anyway, bud. Where God wanted us to be, if you'd have listened to Moses and you'd have paid attention to what he said, you wouldn't have been still in this wilderness. We'd have already been in the promised land. We would have been where there was a good place for seed, where there were figs, there were vines, there were pomegranates, and we'd have been living it up. But he said, you didn't listen to Moses. You didn't listen to him, all right? Hey, Moses, it was his prayers that had kept them from dying in the wilderness. It was his prayer. But boy, they're forgetful. But in the midst of all of it, look, if you will, look at verse 6. Here's faithful Moses. Faithful Moses. Verse 6, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Hey, listen, Moses and Aaron, they hadn't forgotten. They hadn't forgotten where you go when you need help. All right? Hadn't forgotten that. They were faithful. They went to God. They got on their face before God, and God met with them. God met with them. You know what? Man, the world needs many more faithful Christians. And the world, by the way, the world needs to see Christians that are faithful in adversity. In adversity. The world needs to look at God's people and say, hey, those people are the same when it's going good or when it's going bad. Doesn't matter. They're faithful. They're going to still go to God. World needs to see that. World needs to see that in us. They don't need to see us panic, run around, you know, twisting our hands saying, what are we going to do? No, hey, we're going to do the same thing in bad times that we do in good times. We're going to go to God and ask Him for help, ask Him for direction. Listen, I hope you don't just pray for God's direction when you're in a mess. Surely you don't wait then. Man, I'm praying all the time. Lord, lead me. I need to know what to do, and lead me. Keep me in your will. Help me to know what I need to do, decisions need to make. Every one of us ought to pray that way all the time. All the time. There's so many Christians today that I think if they went to the Lord and the Lord treated us the way we do people, He'd probably say, would you remind me again exactly who you are? You just remind me again exactly who you are. You look familiar. But man, it's been so long since I've seen you. You ever told anybody that? You look familiar. We've had people come in church and they looked familiar. But really, I thought, man, I'm sure I know these people, but man, I can't scrape up the name, you know. And then I'd get up close to them and maybe recognize them for sure. Or sometimes if I heard their voice, oh, I know who you are, sure. I know who you are. But we don't show up when things are going good. So many Christians don't. But it ought not to be that way. Hey, we see faithful Moses. Moses knew who to go to when he needed help. When he was confronted by the complaining and accusing people, he and Aaron went to God and prayed because they knew, hey, that's the wisest thing we could do. There's not a wiser thing they could have possibly done than to go to God and say, Lord, we need your help. We need your help. Now, if I'd have been there, and I'm sure I'd have been, Lord, they're at it again. I'm sure I would have. I don't know that Moses did that, all right? Hey, I'll tell you, still today, God's still the greatest problem solver. Amen. He can solve your problems, you know. And he can. I'm not saying he never uses man to help solve those problems. But we go to him and we get the solution. The solution may come through the efforts of somebody else, but Lord, I need it, and God sends it, okay? He can give an answer to our greatest problems, no matter what it is. But now here's the situation we need to remember. Here's the catch. When he sends the answer, it's up to us. We have to heed his word as it regards our problem. We have to heed his word as it regards our problem. I said this in speaking to Mrs. Jordan the other night. I said, listen, you come to God, you meet with God on his terms, not on yours. You meet with God on his terms. It's not on our terms. So when we come to God and seeking help, we got to remember to heed his word as regards the problem where he's seeking help about, all right? Amen. And up until now, everything is good. Everything is good. But in chapter 20, when you get to verse 10, is where things go wrong. Here's the failure, if you will, of Moses. You see, Moses had been given definite and direct instruction as to how to react to this latest affront to God's leadership of his people. And he had given him definite instruction. Here's what you need to do. Here's how you need it. You need water. All right. Here's what you need to do. And you do it. I'll provide the water. Okay. Now, it was a different plan than the one he had had previous. Okay. When they had had a problem before, the plan was, here's what you do. You go and you strike the rock and the water will come out. But this time, the plan was different, all right? The plan was you go speak to that rock, and it'll come out. And the plan was different, but it was still the will of God. Still the will of God. Listen, God's will for us sometimes changes, okay? Sometimes changes. Well, we may need to do things differently, all right? But it's still the will of God. We still need to do it. We don't used to say, well, now, you don't... I know you've gave me a new plan, but the old one still ought to work. It worked last time. We're to do what God says. We're to do what God says. I want you to go with me, Will, to hold on to your place here, but open your Bible to Psalms 106. Psalms 106. I want you to see what I guess I might call the progression here of failure, all right? A little bit of the progression of failure. In Psalms 106, the Lord gives us some enlightenment on this situation. Look at verse 32. The Bible said, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes. Now look at the next verse. Because they provoked his spirit. They provoked his spirit. I want to say it like this. The failure of Moses began on the inside. It began on the inside. Moses got mad. Moses got mad. Now, I honestly can't blame him. I would never come at Moses in this situation, point the finger and say, man, what's wrong with you? Why you get mad or something like that? Good heavens, I'd have been mad long before that if I'd have been him. So don't blame him whatsoever. But here's the situation. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 to be angry and sin not. Be angry and sin not. No sin in being angry, all right? There's no sin in being angry. But the Bible said they provoked his spirit. They provoked his spirit. And something happened to Moses this time that had not occurred up until this time. And it was on the inside of Moses. And I'll be honest with you, most of the time when we go wrong, it starts on that inside. Amen. We get wounded. We get offended. Oh, not necessarily wounded physically on the outside. But if you will, our feelings maybe get hurt. And when our feelings get hurt, we're in a bad way, all right? Because we're human beings and we do have feelings and God made us with feelings. But his feelings got hurt, if you will. They provoked his spirit. But then I want you to notice what that verse says in verse 33. So that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. He spake unadvisedly with his lips. His failure began on the inside. They provoked his spirit. His feelings were hurt. He got angry, and that anger slipped through his lips, if you will, all right? You look back there in Numbers chapter 20, in verse 10, and notice what he says. Hear now, ye rebels. Now, was he wrong in using that word? No. They were rebelling against God. But I want you to notice what he says after that. He said, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Moses, his words, the Bible said he spake unadvisedly. He spake unadvisedly. One of the smartest things we will learn to do is to keep our mouth shut when we are mad. Just keep our mouth shut. Now, I realize, hard thing to do. All right? The bad thing is when we get feelings hurt, we get angry, we lose control of our tongue. But it's okay as long as you still control your lips. Because if you can keep your lips together, the tongue can swing all it wants to, and everybody's going to go, huh? What? They're not going to understand it. Even the ventriloquist has to part their lips, okay, to get the sound out. So one of the smartest things we'd learn to do is keep our mouth shut. I want to tell you, his anger resulted in action. And we know what happened. The Bible said instead of speaking to the rock, he took that rod, smote that rock twice. Now, I believe he was already in trouble before he smote the rock. And his action made the trouble worse. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Because Moses dishonored God. Back up there in verse 10, when he used that word, we. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Let me tell you something. Moses couldn't fetch water out of a water hydrant if God hadn't have been in it. Amen. Okay? It wasn't the work of Moses. Moses dishonored God by assuming some of the honor that did not belong to him. There was no we, okay? It was the power of God that brought forth water from the rock, all right? But the words of Moses puts the honor on himself and Aaron. When he's standing there before that congregation and he says, must we do this, all right? Must we fetch the water out of this rock? The people are looking at him and Aaron. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, him and Aaron and Moses weren't going to do it. It was the power of God was going to take that water and provide that water. But the words that Moses spake put the honor on himself and Aaron. Hey, that's a mistake. They didn't give God the glory that he alone deserved. Hey, give it to him. He didn't say, well, again, God's going to show you he can take care of you. Wasn't that. It's must we fetch water. Folks, what a mistake. What a mistake Moses made. What a mistake to come out with that. You say, why did it happen? A lot because he's mad. He was mad. Now, once again, I don't castigate him for being mad. I'd have been mad too. I think any one of us had been mad. Had we been there, we'd have all been aggravated. Man, I would have thought, how many times are we going to go through this, fellas? I mean, you know, hadn't God proved it to you before? And here he is, and the first thing you do is jump on me and Aaron. Hey, Aaron just buried his sister. We just buried Miriam, okay? Just buried her. So here you are, Moses' sister. I had the wrong family involved there, okay? So Moses just buried his sister and said, now y'all jumping on me and all of that kind of thing. But I want you to notice this, all right? I want you to notice the price of failure. You talk about a price. Verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. He said, because ye believed me not. Now wait a minute, did you see that? Because ye believed me not. He said, what do you mean, preacher? They didn't believe God. Well, what did God tell them to do? God told Moses, you speak to that rock. Moses, for whatever reason, I'm not trying to put thoughts in his head or whatever, but for whatever reason, he didn't do what God said.
Right.
He did what he had done once before. But the only thing I can go on is God says, because ye believe me not. Because of me to believe, Moses let down on his faith. Up until now, boy, he had been a shining example of faithfulness. But he failed at such an inopportune moment, all right? And notice, he said, ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. He said, that's your failure. Your failure is you didn't believe me, you didn't sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. He said, you're not going into that land. You're not going. You said, man, this is a monstrous price to pay.
Amen.
Well, wait just a minute. Just a few things, we're done, all right? A couple of things here. It's a high price because the sin was committed by one with great privilege.
Amen.
Anybody had ever had great privilege as Moses?
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
Moses had had it. Listen, I remind you, Moses had seen the glory of the Lord yonder at Mount Sinai. Moses had seen that. Moses had been in the presence of God. Moses had heard God's voice speak to him and distinctly talk with him and tell him, giving him the law. I just tend to believe he saw the finger of God engrave the commandments on those two tables of stone. Nobody had the privilege Moses had had. Nobody had had that privilege. You and I need to realize when we have great privilege, with great privilege comes great responsibility.
Amen.
Great responsibility. Hey, listen, every Christian, every church member, every member in this church is responsible for this church. But I have greater responsibility because I have greater privilege. God called me to pastor this church. I stand before you three times a week, if not more, and preach and teach the Word of God. Hey, listen, that's a great privilege He's given me, but what a responsibility falls on my shoulders. I have that greater responsibility. Moses had great responsibility. And that sin was a great sin. Not only that, it was a very highly public sin. Highly public sin. It was in front of the whole congregation. Everybody there saw him lose his temper.
Amen.
Everybody there saw him lose his temper. I want to say this, public sins multiply the evil influence of the deed. Especially by leaders
Amen.
In the family of God. Public sin, it just multiplies the evil. Multiplies the evil. When sin is in private and nobody knows it, I don't believe it's necessary to expose every sin that you or I were to commit in front of everybody. I don't think we need to do that. I don't think we need to air out the dirty linen in front of everybody. The sins that are done in private can be taken care of in private. But when they're public, okay, when they're public, it creates a bigger influence and has to be dealt with. God dealt with Moses because of the publicness of the sin and because of the privilege he had. God dealt with him about it. And God said to him, look, you're going to pay a price. You're going to pay a great price. You're not entering that land. You're not entering that land. And I think about this and I look at it and I think, you and I'll never lead a nation. We'll never lead a nation of people the way Moses did. So we look at this episode in the life of Moses. What is there for me? What is it I can specifically learn? One thing, especially I'd say, do not let anger or any other emotion color our obedience to God. ever. Don't let some people get overly happy and disobey God. Some people get sad and disobey God. All kinds of emotions come forth. It's not just anger. Now, we usually think of anger causing us to sin more than other things. But we need to be careful, all right? We need to be careful that we don't let our emotional state change our obedience to God. We get emotional sometimes. Nothing wrong with that. But don't let that change our obedience to God. We still need to obey Him, all right? And then on top of it, boy, our attitude is so important in our obedience. I don't believe Moses' attitude was right when he got there. Now, he had prayed for those. Had those people been rebels before? Yes, they had been. I mean, back there the first time around when there was water troubles with no water and the people complained, Moses, he didn't say, all right, you bunch of rebels, God's going to help you out. And when they had the problem with the bitter water, he didn't say, all right, you bunch of rebels, God said, take that, throw it in there. No, he didn't do it. But I think this time we see an attitude on the part of Moses that we hadn't seen before. Amen. We need to be careful about our attitude and obeying God. I don't know if you were like this, but I can remember as a kid some instances where I obeyed my dad, but my attitude sure wasn't right. Did you ever do that? Yeah. You obeyed, but your attitude wasn't right? Yeah. And, you know, I can remember my dad, you know, said, hey, you don't need to mumble. You don't need to mumble. Just do it. You know. Wipe that look off your face. You know, it's just our attitude. Amen. Our attitude. Hey, listen, when it's serving God and obeying Him, our attitude ought to be right.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It ought to be right before God. There shouldn't be any, well, okay, I know I've got to do it. Well, shut up and do it then, all right? Don't complain about it. Don't have the wrong attitude, you know? Don't have an attitude of resentment. I used to have an attitude of resentment when I had to do some things. You know, I didn't have the right attitude. But I don't want to have the wrong attitude when it comes to obeying God. Amen. Lord, you know, you just helped me to have this right attitude and realize what a privilege I've got. You've told me to do something. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And that's the way we ought to approach it.
Right.
We need to be careful. Don't let your anger, your emotions, interfere with your obedience. Make sure your attitude's right when you do it. Make sure your attitude's right. If you're angry, keep your mouth shut.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Keep your mouth shut. Wait till you cool off. Wait till you cool off. You know, I think a lot of people, they get bitter against God because in anger, they lash out against God. And if they'd have just held on to it a little bit longer, thought about it, they wouldn't have lashed out. They wouldn't have wound up bitter about what took place. It's not necessary. You don't have to do it. And my friend, I'll be honest with you, everything's never going to go our way. Things are not always going to go our way all the time.
Amen.
It's just not going to happen. I have a bad habit of asking, hey, well, how's everything going? You know, or, man, you know, is everything okay with you? Well, who can answer yes to that and be telling the truth? Everything? No. You know, maybe we ought to change that. Hey, is about 75% everything okay with you? But if you're doing good, let it go, all right? But don't hold it in against God. Don't let your attitude affect how you obey God. Don't do that. I've heard somebody accuse a preacher of preaching on hell like he was glad people were going. Now, the only way you'd do that is if your attitude was wrong.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's right to preach on hell.
Sure.
Man, I'd hate to think I ever preached on hell like I was glad anybody was going. Yeah, attitude matters, okay? Our Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Help us just kind of take a look at ourselves. Be honest. Lord, sometimes when we obey you, but it's with resentment. Or it's a little bit of anger. Lord, would you help us not to do that? Forgive us for doing it. Lord, help us to not let our emotions influence our obedience. Lord, help us on those occasions where we're really angry, keep our mouth shut and not let our tongue cause us to sin. Lord, help us to be faithful to you in good and bad and in in-between times. Lord, help us to serve you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. There are new Sword of the Lords on the table in the foyer.